I'm Eric Hart van der Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 162 for the weekend starting 15 December 2016.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, it's our year-end roundup.
That's right, Tech Central's best of 2016, best smartphone, biggest news stories, and our winner and loser of the year. Who will it be?
Oh yeah, let's see. Let's kick up some dust for the last time in 2016.
Welcome to the show, our last show of the year. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan? Can you believe we are midway through December?
It's unbelievable.
Holidays imminent.
This year has just vanished. It felt like a couple of weeks ago it was winter, and now it's the end of the year.
My mind isn't ready for it. I don't know what's wrong. It's crazy. Either.
It's like there should be a few more months before Christmas gets here. It snuck up on us. But
also, I didn't have enough downtime to really appreciate the start of December. I remember coming from the publishing industry, you'd always have this week or two break before everybody else goes on holiday, which is great.
Indeed. Everything's online now, so
it never stops.
We'll, of course, be going a bit quieter on Tech Central from next week, just by virtue of the fact that the industry's on holiday and things are a bit quieter. So we'll still be publishing up to Christmas, but the volume will probably taper off a little bit, and then we'll take some much-needed leave between Christmas and New Year, and then back early in the New Year.
And then a week later, we're back into the grind of
back
things.
Back into
That's
the grind.
Scary.
Before you know it, it's Christmas again.
Yeah. 2017.
Yeah, and we'll be doing our year-end special. But let's get this one out of the way first, and I think we'll start with our biggest news stories of the year, and we've broken this down into two categories, South Africa and international. So I think let's get started with the big local news stories of the year. Before we start, as I say, Richard and I went away separately before we were recording the show and came up with independently came up with what we thought were the biggest stories of the year. We picked our best phones of the year. We did not compare notes, so I've in fact seen his list now just a few minutes before we started recording for the first time. So let's get it started off. Richard, what have you picked as your big news stories of this year?
So the local news stories for me was out of doubt and kind of not in any order, but they go. Telecom's disrupting the market with their freemi product.
Well, that's a great story.
That was a great story. I mean,
that was back in June or July now, and the freemi tariffs really had a big impact. And I think we're starting to see the flow through into Telecom's numbers that they lost set of results. Yeah. The mobile business is very definitely moving solidly into profitability now, but they've also gained a lot of customers.
Yeah.
And I think that trend is likely to continue because those freemi offers really are good.
And I mean, it's the one story that I remember a lot of people telling me. I mean, there's been a lot of good pricing and a lot of, you know, kind of good deals this year, but it's the one consistent thing that people have been speaking to me about, the fact that a lot of them have moved over to Telkom on these packages. It's interesting. The second story on my list is, and we couldn't have missed this, the SABC disaster.
It's on my list too. Yes.
So yeah, I mean, what more can we say that hasn't been said? But we will talk a bit about that a little later. And then the last story that I thought in terms of the local is, I mean, even though it's an international story, but iPhone dropping the headphone port, that saga.
Is it a saga, though? I mean, the tech media made a big deal out of it, but does the rest, ordinary people really care?
Look, unless you like dongles, I've spoken to a few people that do not like dongles, and they have the same issues with the iPhone 7. I've played with it for a bit. It's nice, but yeah, it was an interesting story and something, you know, coming from Apple, I didn't think, or I didn't realize it would make such a big headline throughout the year.
What worries me more is that other manufacturers tend to follow Apple's lead on these things. We saw it with the move from the move to different types of smaller SIM cards, and that was really frustrating. I think it seems the industry is now standardized on the nano SIM. Let's hope it doesn't change again. But unfortunately, I think that and we've already seen it with the Lenovo Moto Z, and the rumor is that the Samsung Galaxy S8 will also not have a headphone jack. It's really not moving in the right direction as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, look, I mean, the technology around it needs to improve, definitely. And once and until it does, you know, we're going to have to deal with the dongles.
Yeah. The biggest problem, one of the problems for me is not just the fact of the inconvenience, but also the fact that you're not replacing an industry standard a port with something that's proprietary and something that you can place DRM on top of.
Well, yeah. So now essentially anybody that makes anything for the iPhone literally needs to have a license from Microsoft.
As well. That's
wanna,
the other thing.
They want to get that.
So it's a money-making scheme for Apple.
I mean, nobody can make, apart from a case, you know, casing, there's no other accessory that you can actually build with, you know, officially without their approval these days.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I suppose it's affected a lot of people. So, yeah, maybe it is worth putting in the top stories of the year. Let me just give the show notes up here and have a look at what I've chosen. I think locally, the SABC, sure, that's a massive story, but I think there's probably one that even trumps that. And that's the ICT policy white paper, which was announced, when was it, October now, I think. Very controversial. Minister has been going around, in fact, even this week, the Minister, Siyabonga Khwele, is saying that the policy is final. I'm not sure having such an intransigent position is helpful. But there's some major problems with the policy. Unfortunately, if it doesn't get changed, the whole thing's going to go to court. And the trouble is that this is going to affect the licensing of spectrum. ICASA is still pushing ahead with its plans to do an auction, despite the lawsuit from the minister, which has temporarily put that on hold. I believe ICASA is now actually taking that whole thing on review. But yeah, it's an unfortunate mess, and I think that while the government may have had its heart in the right place with this. I think the impact on both the industry and consumers is going to be generally very negative. So I think that really was the story of this year, and it's very likely to be one of the big tech stories of 2017 as well. Hopefully not of 2018 and 19.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll be watching that one quite carefully. And apart from those stories, the ICT white paper and the SABC saga, I thought the other one that deserved to make it onto my list of the top three in 2016 was the troubles that MTN has faced in Nigeria in particular, the fine up there, now reduced to about $1 billion. As I said this week on a piece on Tech Central, it's been an annus horribilis for MTN, and I think shareholders will be hoping that 2017 brings some better tidings. But those are my three: white paper, SABC, and MTN. Of course, there was plenty of international tech news happening this year as well. What did you choose as your top three tech stories?
We definitely agree on the one, from what I can see, but we could also not avoid the Galaxy Note 7 battery issue, battery gate. One product could do so much bad press for a company. You know, it's such an anticipated product, and on all accounts, an exceptional product.
Yes,
but just let down by manufacturing and perhaps arguably rushed engineering.
Yes,
trying to do too much. And we know Samsung is one of those companies that try and cater to everybody or every tier of the consumer list. Sad story in one way, because you don't want to see a product like that fail. But
no.
It was a big issue, absolutely.
And Samsung wrote down billions as a result. Its share price took an absolute hammering, and it's going to be fascinating to see what they do with the Note 8, which is going to come out next year, of course.
And then the last thing that really stood out for me, apart from all the other things that this company has done, Tesla, but their solar roof announcement to me was something that I think will always stand out about this year. I thought it really struck a chord with me, the technology that they have developed that seems so obvious.
Yes.
Turn your roof tile into a solar power generator, or at least a solar tile. Obviously not available here anytime soon.
And
but
very expensive.
Very expensive. But somebody needs to make it. Pricing will drop, open the license, potentially more people can make such a device.
It's a game changer for sure. Potentially a game changer.
And it's the first time that I could see something, a technology like this, being implemented in my house. I can see the value in it. Even more so than putting a battery in with normal power generators.
Yeah. Very cool tech. I just hope the prices come down, because it's completely unaffordable at the moment.
Oh, yes. And then on a side note, the last very exciting news story, at least for me, is the imminent launch of Super Mario Run on the iOS platform. I mean, let's not forget, this is the first time that Nintendo is making a game for any other platform beyond their own kind of hardware. They haven't really made any other, for any other platform at least. One-handed Super Mario. I mean, what could be more fun? I'm really looking forward to it. We should get it in South
Africa
tomorrow.
One of the top three international stories of the year.
Yes.
Super Mario.
Love it.
Anyway, my picks this year, I won't dwell on the Samsung one again, but that's my number three pick. In number two place, I chose fake news. I think that's become such a big story, especially in the context of the U.S. election. Mm. And particularly around Facebook. You know, Facebook coming under intense criticism for allowing fake news to proliferate on its platform. I'm kind of divided on this issue. Logically, I feel that why should you try and censor this stuff? Mm. If people are stupid enough to believe it, then let them believe it. You know, and you start to crack down on this stuff, and where do you draw the line between fake news and satire? I think as some proposals I've seen, most of the Onion would be banned, and we certainly don't want to ban satire. Mm-hmm. So it's a difficult one. I also see how it can have an impact. I mean, you don't want to. You know, it's in bad taste if you report a story that someone's died, for example, and that starts to spread, and it can cause all sorts of issues for the family and that sort of thing.
But the thing, like spam, is it's a lot of times unavoidable in the fact that these URLs, they could be made to look like a reputable news site. It's not. It's outright. You can see it's not satire, or it's not intended to be a joke. It's intended to cause a stir. It's intended to cause some uproar somewhere, or shock and awe.
Yes.
So that's the kind of thing I think needs to be looked at. But I mean, where do you draw the line?
Where do you draw the line? And do you really want government deciding, or regulator deciding, what is publishable and what's not? And
For the same reason that this fake news articles rise to the top, there should be a system where they can be voted down as well, Reddit style, or so enough people. I guess if the group dictates what...
I think that's a better approach is self-moderation. And certainly Facebook could do that. They could say, well, if 10 or more people or 100 more people, I don't know what the statistic or what rule you specifically use, but if a certain number of people report this as fake news, then don't put it on people's timelines.
Exactly. I think there's probably something there.
Yes.
But I mean, I've read one or two stories this year, and I thought it was legitimate. And upon further investigation, as soon as you click through the site, you can see it's not. But you still don't want to be giving these guys clicks. You want to kind of force them out of the system.
Yeah. Anyway, my number one pick this year is cybersecurity and hacking. Mm. I think that was such a big story this year, particularly again in the context of the U.S. election. Mm. The fact that the Democratic Party was hacked by U.S. agents working for the Russian government, suggestions that the Russian government may in fact have influenced the outcome of the election. There's been investigations into whether their voting systems, the electronic voting systems, were in fact hacked and compromised. There's no definite proof that that happened. I think Barack Obama, the U.S. president, has rubbished those suggestions, but there's no doubt that there's an information war going on, and Russia is at the forefront of it. And I think we're probably just in the early stages of this interstate warfare that's happening on the internet.
It's not about soldiers anymore; it's about brains. It's about the skills.
Yeah.
And you and I both know that any of these things are technically possible.
Yes.
It is technically possible to hack those systems.
Yeah.
It's technically possible to change the outcome of an election. If they are that good, it probably won't be that obvious to see that they've done it.
Yes.
It's a tricky one.
Yeah.
But very, very interesting nonetheless.
Indeed. Anyway, we need to go into a break. I do realize that we've jumped straight into, in such excitement, into our year-end edition that we've completely forgot to do our quiz. So I think we should do that before we go to a break.
Let's do that.
And then we'll get to the answers at the end of the show. But Rehot, do you want to kick off with the questions?
Sure. First question. Which U.S. tech billionaire gave vocal support to Donald Trump's campaign to be president in 2016?
Our second question, what is the final settlement that MTN and Nigerian authorities agreed to over the record-breaking fine imposed on the telecommunications operator for failing to disconnect more than 5 million SIM cards under that country's SIM card registration laws?
The third question, the South African government released a white paper on ICT in 2016. What is the full name of this white paper?
And our fourth question, this is a fun one, What are the top three, I beg your pardon, the top five selling phones of all time? Now, obviously, we don't expect you to get all five correct, but maybe just get one of them correct and you can take the point.
And you won't believe you came out on top. The fifth question. How many Galaxy Note 7 devices has Samsung had to recall this year? And that's a big number.
It is indeed, both financially and in pure unit numbers. Anyway, we need to take a break. We'll be back after this.
Hello world. Hello information. Hello uploads and downloads. Hello streaming videos and low latency. Hello blogs and vlogs. Hello crystal clear video calls. Hello increased productivity. Hello online learning. Hello cloud. Hello long lost friends and missed connections. Hello limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Chicken or beef?
Beef, please.
Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
There's so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Well, Richard, this is the segment I've been looking forward to. Our picks of the best smartphones of 2016 in order from number 3 to number 1. What are your picks?
All right, so my first choice, and this has been a very interesting device for me, and a little disclaimer, I did do some work for these guys earlier this year, but not anymore. But the Cat S60 is a ruggedized phone, Android-based smartphone with a built-in FLIR camera. Now, I've had a lot of fun, not just with a built-in FLIR infrared camera. Yeah, right. Yeah. And I pick it for two reasons. Obviously, I use it a lot when I go out and shoot as my rugged device, which is amazing. I mean, it doesn't break, it drops. It can do all those things.
Yeah.
It's nice. But I've been doing some really interesting FLIR infrared photography with this thing. So as you know, and it's not something everybody can do. So it's been quite interesting to be able to take these photographs and share them online.
Yeah.
And still have a little bit of exclusivity on how you take infrared camera infrared photographs. You know, it's not a type of technology that's readily available yet.
Yeah.
But this is a semi-consumer device. So yeah, I've enjoyed using that one. The second product on my list, and this is just a machine, is the Galaxy S7 Edge. Not only beautiful looking with that curved screen, but super fast, super snappy. And I played with it for about a week, and I absolutely loved it.
Great.
Also works great with the other, with the headset, the Samsung headset.
Yeah.
Love that VR technology. What's it? The Gear headset, Gear VR. And then in number one...
Da-da-da-da-da. We must say, by the way, before you tell everyone what your number one choice is we've only picked phones that are available in the South African market.
Yes,
so
yes.
A Google Pixel for smartphone, for example, is not available here, so that's not eligible to be on our list. It has to be a product that was launched in South Africa in 2016.
Yes, yes.
So what is your number one?
Well, it's the... No. It's the Apple iPhone 7. I thought, you know, as much criticism as I directed towards it with the omission of its headphone jack, I still think it's a great device. Super sleek, super fast. I love the camera on that device.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, even though I won't upgrade, I did upgrade to the 6S earlier this year. I can certainly see myself, you know, still being an Apple user, you know, after this device.
Right.
Again, I didn't upgrade to it for a reason, but you know, as a standalone device, and if you have the right peripherals to go with it, the Apple iPhone 7, in my opinion, is a superb device.
Mm-hmm. Great. My pick, in fact, there's only one that's the same as on your list, which is interesting.
Hmm.
And I think my number one pick is a bit controversial, but I genuinely do believe it deserves to be the smartphone pick of the year. So number three place, same as you had on your list, I've got the Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge.
Mm.
Beautiful device, one of the best phones Samsung has ever made.
Mm.
I do think the Note 7 would have been on the list of the best phones of the year if it hadn't exploded.
if it hadn't exploded off the list.
Could easily have been number one, actually.
Yeah.
Great phone. I only had a chance to play with it for 10 minutes. But what I saw of it, it looked really, really, really good, and luckily it didn't burn my hand off. in third place, I placed the Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge. My number two choice is a newish brand, I could say they're new under their current owner in the South African market in smartphones, and that's Lenovo's Moto Z, or Moto Z if you're American.
Is that the one with all the attachments that you can
it
pop
is indeed,
it?
And I picked it because it's such an extensible phone. You can pop on a whole range of accessories, like a 10 times Hasselblad zoom camera, which is not cheap, by the way. I think it's about 4,500 Rand. Which is,
but it's an option. It's available. It's
available.
Nice photographs.
You can add a JBL speaker to it, which produces fantastic sound. You can snap on a battery extender from a company called Incipio. There's a whole range of these Moto mods available, and I'm picking the phones for two reasons. First of all, just because it's so it's so adaptable, you can do so many things with it. And apparently, for the next, they've promised that the next version of this phone, the Moto mods will be compatible. So there is, you know, if you invest big money in all these add-ons, you at least know that your next phone upgrade, if you decide you're going to buy a Moto, the follow-up to the Moto Z, at least you know the follow-up phone will also have work with the Moto mods you've bought, which I think is very important.
That is correct.
So that's my, and of course the phone is fantastic. It's ultra thin. It's pretty powerful. It's being upgraded to Android Nougat before the end of this year,
nice,
apparently.
Nice.
It's a great device.
Super sexy phone. I just didn't have any hands-on time with it, so probably would have chosen myself.
Anyway, my number one pick, as I said, is likely to be controversial, but I genuinely do think that this was the best phone, Android phone, and best phone overall, in fact, of this year. And that is the BlackBerry Priv. Yep, ooh. I chose a BlackBerry for number one.
What? Shock and awe.
but incredible device. It hasn't sold in the sort of volumes that BlackBerry was hoping for. I think in part because it was so expensive. And I think the bulk of the BlackBerry base in South Africa just can't afford it. I think the bulk of the BlackBerry base in South Africa are just moving on from feature phones. You know, I think it was pitched at the very high end of the market. I think they were going after the US market and not the emerging markets where BlackBerry has been so strong. But despite that, it was a fantastic device with excellent security built into it and a slide-out keyboard, BlackBerry keyboards.
Right out of the early 2000s.
Exactly, but it was so fantastic. I mean, not everyone likes typing on these on-screen displays, and it really, particularly if you're a BlackBerry user and you're used to that keyboard and write at high speed, really good. And you can see they put a heck of a lot of thought into that phone. So many little nice features, and it's just a pity it didn't sell in the sort of volume that and I wouldn't recommend anyone getting one now with BlackBerry basically giving up on the smartphone business. You can buy them now. I was in Dion Wired of all places the other day, and I saw them on sale for around 7,000 rand, just over 7,000 rand, down from the original 11,000 or 12,000 rand. So they're being deeply discounted now, presumably to get rid of stock. And so if you're not too worried about not getting updates from BlackBerry anymore, then I'd go for it. I'd seriously have a look at that device because it's my pick for the best smartphone of 2016. It was actually announced back in November, I think it was, of last year, if not earlier. But it only went on sale in South Africa in 2016, so it's still eligible for this list. So those are our smartphones of the year. I guess we need to talk about our winner and loser of 2016. Let's start with the loser because it's obvious who it is.
Well, this is just pure out of the amount of number of times we've chosen him in this position.
Exactly. He's been easily been our pick of the week for five or six or maybe even seven times this year for our loser of the week. And he's won the title. He gets the dunce cap. Claudi Motsoeneng is our loser of 2016 for... I'm not going to rehash all the...
we could be here for a while.
We could be here for a while, but...
Do you think we're going to see an end to this now with the hearings and kind of everything coming out into the...
I think the hearings... unfortunately, the hearings go on until February. And then the parliamentary committee still needs to produce its report. But... I don't see either Obed Maguve, the chairman, who delivered the most embarrassing testimony in Parliament this week, or Claudi Motsoeneng, who's protected by him. I honestly don't see them in their positions much beyond March next year.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, the court has ordered that Claudi Motsoeneng can't go to work. he's not eligible to work at the SABC. So unless he appeals that, and you know, will he appeal it if you know, I guess he will appeal it if the SABC is going to pay for his appeal. I don't think he'll pay for it out of his own pocket. But what worries me is that he's going to appear somewhere else. You know, okay, he can't work at the SABC. We all know that Jacob Zuma, or as Faith Mutambi, the communications minister, called him Ubaba. Ubaba loves Cloudy. So there's every reason to believe that if he doesn't stick around at the SABC, that he might pitch up at some other state-owned enterprise to wreak havoc.
Oh, my word.
Or maybe he'll be appointed to Zuma's cabinet.
Even worse.
New Minister of Finance, anyone?
Scary stuff.
Minister of Communications. I mean, there were some suggestions from, I think it was the ANC Youth League in KwaZulu-Natal, that he'd be nominated to the ANC's National Executive Committee.
Oh, my word.
So I don't think we've seen the last of Mr. Motsweneng, but he's most certainly our loser of 2016. And our winner this year is an unlikely one, since he's very quiet and behind the scenes.
Mm.
But he's having an outsized impact on South Africa's telecommunications industry. And that is Neil Schoeman, the CEO of Vumatel.
Yeah.
And I think Rechard actually suggested this as our winner of the year, and I agreed with him. Just because of the impact that Vumatel, the leader in the FTTH space in South Africa, is having on the telecommunications industry. I just got my fiber in at home. Went for 100 megabit a second.
Yes.
And it's amazing stuff.
How's it been treating you?
Thrilling. It's thrilling. It's it only went in yesterday, but I've been streaming Amazon Prime in Amazon Prime Video, which of course launched in South Africa this week. I've been streaming that at 1080p.
Nice.
Been watching tons of Showmax.
Everything's just better.
And Google Earth. My word, yeah. It's fantastic on 100 megabit per second connection.
Yes.
Interestingly, the local Google Earth imagery loaded very quickly, which makes me think that they're hosting some of the content locally. I went to San Francisco and it loaded quite slowly, so I think they may be hosting some of the South African or African content.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to do that.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Pity they didn't put the whole thing locally, if that is the case. But I was actually blown away. Just a bit of an aside here. I was on Google Earth last night playing around with it. And have you seen how many 3D buildings have gone up in Google Earth lately? I don't know how they do it. I think they must be using aerial photography of some kind.
Mm.
Low-flying planes and using LiDAR or something like that. But they're getting the most incredible images of not just skyscrapers in downtown Joburg, but of houses in every suburb.
Oh, really?
In 3D.
No, I haven't. I must go and check it out.
Yeah, I'll show it to you after the show. It's pretty amazing. So that is an incredible experience. But Vumatel are having a huge impact. I suspect that one of the big telcos is going to buy them at some point for a huge amount of money. But I'm also sure they're not in any hurry to sell. You know, they're building out their footprint. Neil Schoeman said recently, I think a month or two back, that they will have completed the rollout of the northern suburbs of Joburg by around this time next year.
Wow.
If you look at how their map is expanding rapidly, it's incredible. So they're doing the whole of Sandton, Randburg, many of the areas beyond the
It's like completing the N1 puzzle piece.
Yeah, exactly. I see they're looking at Bedford View area now, so they're moving east. Interestingly, they haven't touched Pretoria. They're focusing exclusively on Johannesburg. And they've got a couple of developments in Cape Town, but it's still quite limited down there. But Joburg is clearly their immediate focus, which I guess leaves space for the likes of OpenServe, which is part of Telkom, of course, and other smaller players to target some of the other areas. Certainly, they haven't got the whole of Cape Town. Pretoria is wide open, and OpenServe is deploying a lot of fiber in Pretoria. But Joburg is being sewn up at an incredible rate by Vumatel.
Yeah.
And
it's also the way in which they did it that really made me think of them and the company as, I think, a showcase in how you deploy. I mean, coming from a base like Telkom, it wasn't a very high jump to kind of really trump them. But
yeah
well, I remember when it was installed in my neighborhood, you know, the speed and efficiency at which they did it, they fix the driveways, you know, they were in communication, they were always available when needed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had the
whole I've had a great experience with them as well. They're contractors. I mean, they work through contractors, but the contractors have been absolutely efficient and communicative and friendly. And
I think the contractors have been managed correctly too and briefed correctly. It's not just being given a task and run wild with it.
Yes. And they're, when they roll out an area, they've got an area supervisor who keeps you updated with a weekly email. He's available. He gives you a cell phone number. Call me anytime.
Exactly.
You phone him and he'll send you an update on what's happening, etc., etc. So you're kept informed throughout the process. And I must say, I live in a security complex, and the team that trenched fiber through here, they were on site for a long time. I think it was about 6 to 8 weeks. But they did a fantastic job of reinstating the civils. It doesn't even look like they came through here, apart from the little plastic boxes on the ground.
Yeah.
So that's our winner of the year, Vumatel CEO Neil Schoeman. Well done, Neil. I should mention at this point that we also ran our newsmakers, ICT newsmakers of the year on Tech Central this week, worth going to have a look at. Our picks there in fifth position, Brett and Mark Levy, the co-CEOs of Blue Label Telecoms, for their planned 45% acquisition of Cell C for 5.5 billion rand.
Mm.
In fourth position, we placed Telkom CEO Sipho Maseko, and I think it was on the back of the strong results. Interim results that they announced a few weeks back, which really showed the organization has turned the corner, especially on the mobile side. They're still facing challenges, fixed lines in decline, a serious challenge in the fiber market from Vumatel and others. But Sipho Maseko inherited a mess at Telkom, and he's really put the platform in place to grow now. The aggressive freemi plans that were announced earlier this year, more aggressive plans to come. I think that that Sipho Maseko has put Telkom on a much stronger footing than it was a few years ago, and so he's made our newsmakers list at number four. I must say, newsmakers isn't just for people doing good things; it's just because they were newsworthy events that they were involved in. In the third place, we have Phuthuma Nhleko, the group interim executive chairman of MTN, who stepped in late last year to try and rescue the situation in Nigeria, and MTN was undoubtedly one of the big ICT news stories in South Africa this year, and for that reason he's made it to number three on our list. In second place, and he would have made it to number one in place if it hadn't been for the obvious choice for number one newsmaker of the year, and that's the former acting director general of the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, Joe Mjwaha, who led the development of the ICT policy white paper. There's some fantastic stuff in the white paper, by the way. It's not all bad. The rapid deployment guidelines to help companies roll out infrastructure more rapidly is very good. And there's lots of other areas in there that I think the industry will welcome. But unfortunately, also the idea of this wholesale open access network and giving it access to all future spectrum and possibly even nationalizing existing spectrum allocations is not the right thing to do. And the white paper is going to need surgery before becoming law, and it is deeply worrying that government seems to have dug in and said that the policy is final and is not negotiable in any way, which I think is the wrong approach. And our newsmaker of the year is also our loser of the year. That's the one and only Claudi Motsoeneng, and we won't rehash what we've already said about him, but those are our newsmakers of 2016. More detail on why we chose them on the website at the moment. Go and have a look at that. We're not going to do picks this week. We decided to leave that for this show, the special edition of Talk Central. We'll be back with our Apple product pick of the week from our first show in 2017, January 2017. But I think that's our show, apart from the quiz results, which we'll get to in the moment. But thanks to our listeners for tuning in this year. We've seen incredible growth on this podcast this year, over last year, especially in the last 3 or 4 months, which suggests that the format is working. We've got big plans for the show next year. We won't reveal it all just yet, but look out for those. And before we sign off, let's do those quiz results, the questions of which we almost forgot to ask you. Let me kick off with the first one. Which US tech billionaire gave vocal support to Donald Trump's campaign to be president in 2016? And that was, of course, Peter Thiel.
The second question: what is the final settlement that MTN and Nigerian authorities agreed to over the record-breaking fine imposed on a telecommunications operator for failing to disconnect more than 5 million SIM cards under SIM card registration laws? The answer, a whopping $1 billion.
Billion bucks in real money.
Real Napoli money.
Third question. The South African government released a white paper on ICT in 2016. What is the full name of the white paper? And that is, of course, the National Integrated ICT Policy White Paper.
The fourth question, what are the top five selling phones of all time?
Now, this is pretty cool. The source of this is The Telegraph. Yeah. They've done the research on this. We'll start at number five and work our way to number one.
So, number five, the Nokia 5230. Can you believe it?
In fourth place, we have the Nokia 1200.
The third place, Nokia 3210. Oh, I love that phone.
Jeez, all Nokia so far.
Yeah.
In second place, Nokia 1110.
Jeez, I mean, these records were set quite a while ago.
Yeah, these
right?
are all feature
it's
phones.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And in number one position, the Nokia 1100.
So crazy. Every one of the top five top-selling cell phones of all time is a Nokia. It's amazing to think that they haven't they're not around anymore.
Yeah, that is. And again, it just shows you a few bad decisions in any company. I mean, we've got a few to pick from in this category, but
yes,
it could completely cripple, break a company.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, in the Telegraph's list, there is only one non-Nokia phone in the top 10, and it comes in at number 10. And it's the Motorola Razr V3.
Oh, also a groundbreaking phone.
It was a groundbreaking phone, the phone, but that's the only non-Nokia phone in the top 10, and it is in 10th place.
And also not really around in any official... Well, Motorola isn't the same company it was.
No, it isn't. It's now owned by Lenovo. I think at the time of the Razr, it was being led by Ed Zander, if I'm not mistaken, the ex-chief operating officer of Sun Microsystems and right-hand man to Scott McNeely.
Sure.
He did an amazing job there. I wonder what happened to Ed Zander. I met him once at Mobile World Congress. Hell of a nice guy. But fascinating list, actually. So it's, again, from fifth to first place, these are all Nokias. The 5230, the 1200, the 3210, I remember that one quite clearly.
Yeah.
The 1110, or the 1110, which I'm not sure how they pronounce that. And then the Nokia 1100 in first place. And our last question this week was, how many Galaxy Note 7 devices has Samsung had to recall? And the answer to that question is, it's already collected or recalled 2.7 million of 3.06 million sold. So there are about 300,000 phones out there that haven't been recalled. And I was just saying to Rachel before the show, if I had one of these Note 7 devices, I wouldn't send it back. I'd keep it as a memento.
A souvenir. I'm sure they'll pop up on eBay. But I also believe that they're illegal to be sold.
Oh, really?
Maybe illegal, in America. But you can't buy and sell them.
Interesting. But, if you do have one, just don't switch it on, because apparently there's an update that gets forced over there to prick the thing.
Well, you also don't want to switch it on because it might explode.
Oh, that's
so,
also true.
Yeah,
you might burn your house down.
Sure.
Anyway, that's our show. If you're going on holiday, please drive safely. We want you as our listeners next year as well. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, please drop us a mail. info@techcentral.co.za is our email address. Until 2017, have a fantastic holiday from Richard and myself. Cheers.
Ciao.